Well, yeah, welcome to a very special edition of the Hot Spurs podcast. And this week we've got an extra special guest, and it's a Spurs legend. It's Mr. John Pratt. How are you doing, John?
Not so bad. How are you doing, Steve?
Yeah, really good, thank you. Obviously, we've just had the game at the weekend against Swansea. This roller coaster of a season keeps going, doesn't it? What are your thoughts on the game just gone by?
Bit more adventurous, aren't we? You know, there's people getting in the box more. It seems to be that people have got responsibilities to get forward. I think the midfield pairing seems to be gelling quite well, considering they're both very left-sided sort of people. But that's very good. You know, my only concern is sometimes I've read in the papers that. The new lease of life with Danny getting down one side and Carl getting down the other is sort of trying to be a more adventurous. But they were doing that anyway because that's their natural instincts.
Yeah.
You know, it's the defensive side of it that sometimes I find a little bit disconcerting, for want of a better word. You know, because, you know, if you're a right back or a left back, it's in the terminology, isn't it? You know, your first thing is defending, and your second thing is the bonus is going forward, but which is probably their best attributes, you know, going forward.
Yeah.
You know, because both of them are quite, they hit good balls in, and obviously Danny with his natural left foot, and he was a winger when he came to us, a winger and left-sided midfield player, a more adventurous type of player. So, sometimes it's a little bit difficult to get your head around possibly the defensive side of it, as opposed to the attacking side, fantastic result. We've beaten all the teams we should beat.
Yeah.
I.e. the Swanseas of the world, with no disrespect to them, because, they've turned over one or two scalps already. What we've got to do is we've got to actually start cashing in on, winning against the top four or five clubs.
Yeah. And I mean, that Palace game, that's the sort of game that we lose, isn't it? You know, where we play rotten, we're at home, we might have a few chances, but, we'd normally lose that 1-0, wouldn't we? But we win it. We won it 2-0, which was a bit different, really.
Well, the thing is, it's about getting people opportunities.
Yeah.
Obviously, Soldano, he's struggling a little bit at the moment, I haven't seen too many of his goals, in Spain, but I'm led to believe that he scored those in and around 8 yards in.
Oh, yeah, so he was smacking them in last year.
We've got to get round the back of people.
Yeah.
Similar to what, Townsend was doing and Danny has done on occasions, and he's got to do it more, but Chadley has done it. He's a big old lump and he's got a good movement there where he gets that yard, half a yard, which is all you need is to, get the ball in.
Yeah.
And I think if he knows that that's going to be in, coming in, he'll be in and around those areas to nick goals.
Yeah.
Which he has obviously done, playing in Spain. You don't score that many goals in any league, and particularly against the top teams in Spain, not be a very good player. So I think we're yet to see the best of him. And to be fair, I suppose we're yet to see the best of anybody, really, with all the acquisitions we made during the summer. And we're lying where we are in the league and not too many points away. So what could perceive to be doom and gloom, you've got to look on the positive side of things. And from, now to the end of the season, Alan Mulry always uses a great term, sometimes you have to win ugly.
Yeah.
Sometimes if we've got to whack the ball out and all charge up, that's what we're going to have to do.
Yeah.
I know it's foreign to, all us Tottenham people, because we like to see the ball played out of the back and do all the nice things. But sometimes the result is sometimes better than the deed.
Did Alan Mulry used to say that when you were playing?
Not necessarily, but, because obviously we were under the jurisdiction of Bill Nicholson and Eddie Bailey, and who both like the ball to be passed out from the back.
Yeah.
And whereas some clubs, if you're a defender, whether it be a central defender or a wide you know, wide defender, right back or left back. As a right back, my first, you know, result in getting the ball would be to look for the winger. My second ball would be looking for the midfield player.
Yeah.
My third ball would be looking for the first striker. My get-out ball, which was the last ball, was in behind the back for the other forward attacking the ball.
Yeah.
You know, getting in behind them. So, you know, that was a sort of very much ingrained in us, and which has been ingrained in most of the you know, Tottenham teams since.
Yeah.
Even Terry Neill, in his year that he had with us, you know, he didn't try and tamper with the way Tottenham played. George Graham, what people forget about George Graham, they always think he was a defensive type of, you know, personnel. But, you know, George was a fantastic attacking footballer, you know, and he loved, you know, doing drag backs, and was an extremely, you know, good attacking player. And the last thing he would be defensively. But like all good teams, and you look at all the teams, you know, sometimes they say you build from the back, and, you know, if you're not giving anything away, and you can, you know, score one or two good goals, everything's a bonus. If you don't concede any goals, you don't lose, do you?
Yeah.
Unless it's simple analogy to use, but that's the fact of the matter.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, are you someone that I know you obviously go to all the games, all the home games and what have you. Are you someone that you know, enjoys the 90 minutes? Because, you know, for me at the moment, I've never known it. I don't think I've got any fingernails left with all, you know, what sort of all goes on at the moment. Are you someone that enjoys the game and has a laugh with your mates, or do you sort of sit there and, you know, it all has to be quiet around you?
Well, obviously, you know, I sit with all, you know, I do the hospitality at Tottenham with a number of all us ex-players, and obviously we're all great players.
Do you all sit together?
I was as good when I played as I am now. You know, I would have been excellent. But yes, of course. I mean, you know, dare I say it, you know, I was brought up in a, you know, where Bill Nicholson and Eddie Bailey expected certain things of us.
Yeah.
So when you've heard it probably numerous times and read it in books, for those that weren't old enough to, you know, read the cuttings or read, you know, the documentary side of it, was that Bill never praised us for the things we did well.
Yeah.
He only criticised for the things that we didn't do so well, because he expected us to do those things well. So if you expect someone to do it, you shouldn't necessarily have to always pat him on the back for doing those. You know, yes, every now and again, you do need an arm around your shoulder and say, well, look, come on, we know you can do it, etc. That's man management. And for being a fantastic, and probably one of the four greatest managers there's been in, or five managers there's been in professional football in Britain, you know, I think every now and then, that was Eddie's job, you know.
Yeah.
Eddie would come round and go, come on, pray, you know, stick your, you know, you could do that, mate, don't worry about it, yeah, and sort of all the humour that Eddie had, you know, that's the best part of being a team.
So what do you reckon he would have said to Eddie Bayor then? Those two
guys.
Well,
Eddie Bayor would have put my arm round him.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he can take a bollocking.
What would Bill Nick say to him, do you reckon?
Sorry?
What would Bill Nick have said to him?
He wouldn't have been there. unfortunately, like, I don't think Eddie would have actually survived very long with Uncle Bill.
He's unplayable, though, isn't he, on his game? The last few games,
as it's been documented, you don't play for Arsenal, Real Madrid, you know...
Man City.
Man City, and not be a good player.
Yeah.
The problem is that, you know, you have the honeymoon period where he does it for a period of time, and then doesn't do it. I mean, you know, for all those Tottenham supporters out there, you know, and I know more than anyone, they'll forgive you anything, but the one thing they won't forgive you is for not trying.
Yeah, no,
and sometimes Eddie does appear to be a little bit lackadaisical, doesn't necessarily put the industry in the Tottenham people, for being football orientated, and I mean football in the purest sense of the word, they expect that, and they demand it, and rightly so, they should. You know, it's 90 minutes of football, your heading can be, you know, up the creek, your control can be non-existent, your passing can be indifferent. But the one thing that should be standard is the effort that you put into the game.
Yeah.
And as I said, you know, Tottenham supporters, they forgave me for my indiscretions because they knew that I was trying all the time.
Yeah.
And in the, these last few weeks since he's come back, and I know, the lad's had numerous upheavals in his private life, which, sometimes the public don't, sometimes they're aware of and sometimes they're not aware of. And I know when I was a player, Cyril Knowles lost his son, in a freak accident on the motorway.
Yeah.
Paul Allen, who now works on the hospitality with me, his young daughter was very ill the first 3 months we signed him.
Yeah.
All these things, the public are not necessarily aware of, and of course they're private things. And sometimes it does attribute to, sometimes not playing as well as we hope they do play.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, with someone like Adebayor, the way I would say it is, keep playing him, but as soon as he sort of, he becomes disinterested, all right, off you come, and we'll stick someone on who wants to play, keep it as simple as that, really.
Well, but there lies the problem. I think we lost the game with, I think it was the first game. I think we draw it that Tim was taken over, and yeah. Adebayor played.
Yeah, against West Ham.
And we put, sort of a midfield player on.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not criticising Tim because obviously he's doing an extremely good job.
Yeah.
And he's, he knows the way he wants to play. He wants to play the Tottenham way.
Yeah.
He's won the Premiership.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the previous manager, the players can't say anything to Tim. He's played for England.
Yeah.
He's been an extremely good player. He's been at the club for 4 years, 5 years as a player. He's been there 4 years now as a coach.
Yeah.
So he knows the club inside out, and he's been an extremely good footballer himself. Whereas one or two of them might have said to AVB,
what do you know?
Me to do this. Yeah. You can trap a bag of cement, with all due respect to him.
Yeah.
I don't care if he's knackered, if he can't stand. All he's got to do is stand up in the middle of the field by the centre circle, and that's going to deter people wanting to come forward with the ball or that, because all he needs is one chance, because he can gallop on a little bit. He's pretty sharp, which when he gets into his stride, isn't he? He's had the confidence to knock it past a few players and, got on the other side of them. So, the deterrent is there. Even if he's breathing through his backside, I'd leave him there and say, well, look, all you've got to do is, I know you're knackered, I know you're not match fit in terms of the Premiership, but, do me a favour. I think that's the way, people in the job at the moment have got to treat Adebayor. I think if you start trying to slag him and make a statement with it, it'd be the wrong thing to do. I think he's one of those people that the more you encourage him, and obviously with his tie-up with his family and, his country.
Yeah.
He's a very passionate, man and, he has a lot of responsibilities.
Yeah.
But...
Have you met him, through...
No, I haven't. I've heard him talk numerous times. Up in the lounges, and he always conducts himself in a very... very good manner. And,
because I was going to ask you, actually, without naming names, obviously, you work there. But in terms of attitude, obviously, the first name when you speak to a Spurs fan, if you say a bad attitude, the first person they say is Adebayor. But my suspicions are that there are people, obviously, without naming names, with worse attitudes. When you speak to them, they're just not interested. They storm off. I know, there was one particular Russian who... somebody mentioned who wasn't interested whatsoever in signing any autographs. He doesn't play for us anymore. So, but yeah, there are a few people who need a little word.
Sometimes people believe their own press. And, it's not always to the good of the team that they do that. But what they've got to realise is they've got to do the things that have made them.
Yeah.
Good players and made them international players, and the players that people are always talking about, you know, the young lad we've got now, Nabeen, you know, if he stops doing the things that have made him, you know, a very good player in the last three or four games, you know, if he stops doing those, then he's not going to be the player that, you know, everyone's, they're on the, talking about him playing for France now, or even England, or wherever, you know, he's got to keep sustaining that level of performance, or show the attitude, though. I mean, you know, the thing is that it's a two-way street with players nowadays, that in my era, and it's primarily the problem that fans have is the monetary side of it. You know, everyone thinks they get paid too much money, etc. But that's the game rate. It's only obscene if you're not getting it.
Yeah.
You know, if every, whatever you walk along, I mean, I do window cleaning. If someone said to me, well, you're going to get 85 grand a week for doing window cleaning, I'd go, nah, no, I don't deserve that. Of course I'm going to take it.
Yeah, of course you will, yeah.
You know, actually, yeah, you'd be stupid not to.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I did used to say that I feel sorry for doctors, nurses and teachers. Then I thought, well, I don't know too many poor doctors. Yeah. I know a lot of poor nurses.
Yeah.
You know, and but having said that, they all get very good pensions and one thing and another. Yeah. If you don't like it, don't do it.
And I'm a teacher, John, so, you know, I'm glad you didn't mention me in that little bracket there, but I get enough holidays, so I'm all right.
No, but it's, you know, it's part of the thing, and I've got in-laws now that have been headmistresses, and one of the daughters a teacher, you know, and it's not, you know, 6 weeks, 7 weeks holiday because they have a lot of planning to do, etc.
That's right, thanks.
You know, it's very,
we do.
It's very sort of blasé to say, oh, well, they have all this time off. But, you know, dare I say it, and this is not pleading poverty, but, you know, people, you know, firemen, my friend of mine's a fireman.
Yeah.
You know, we're both 65 now. He's been retired 15 years and I'm still working. You know, and he goes, well, you know, well, we, you know, we have very, you know, stressful lives. Well, don't do it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you know, if that's controversial, and I apologise to all firemen, policemen, etc., because I know they do, you know, an excellent job, and I wouldn't try to belittle that, but, you know, don't do it if you find it stressful, etc. You know, it's, no one puts a gun to your head to do anything.
Yeah.
Although my wife does when I don't get
up
and go and clean windows.
That's right, yeah. Everything applies to everything you just said, apart from when we're talking about the missus. And all bets are off when it comes to them.
There's only one boss in my house.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I was chatting to my dad, John, who you have met several times on the golf course and around about Spurs and what have you. And he said, we were chatting about, there's this programme on Sky on a Friday night, which is where they get an ex-footballer and they go through all their career and the players they've played with, and they do their best ever 11 out of all the players they played with. And I was speaking to my dad, and I said, I reckon John will win. If there was a World Cup or Olympic medal to name the best side that you've ever played with in terms of the players, I think you'd win hands down. Because if we went through it now, and I've sprung this on you, John, because I didn't want you to have time, just in case you forgot someone and they say, oi, why didn't you mention me in that 11? But if we go through it, right, we got number one, goes without saying.
Well, there's only one kind of the big man.
Which is Pat, who not only is, you know, for the young Spurs fans, Pat Jennings isn't just the greatest ever Spurs goalkeeper.
He's the greatest goalkeeper Arsenal have ever had as well.
Well, that's right. But, he, you know, if there was a worldwide vote of ex-players and fans throughout the history, he'd probably be, you know,
the
number
one.
He's the best ever goalkeeper.
I
didn't want to overplay it, but it is true. He's the best goalkeeper of all time. So that's number one. You've won that one. So if we went with a back four, who are the back four that you would pick that you've played with?
But I've played with, or I've been associated with. If I played with, I'd have to say that I'd have to put. It's a toss up between Joe Kinnear and Steve Perriman at right back.
Right, so right there, you've got two absolute legends. Yeah.
You know, both very, very good footballers. Two midfield players that could play fullback.
Yeah.
Mike England, centre half.
Who Pele says is the best he's ever played against.
Dave McKay.
Oh, Dave McKay.
Probably the best. And I'm putting Dave at the back, so it gives me another position in midfield.
Yeah. But then you've got...
Cyril Knowles is a no-brainer at left back.
Cyril Knowles, but then you've got Alan Mallory, you see.
Yeah, but left back. I mean, you know, left back, that's me back four.
Right, that's your... Right, okay.
You know, Cliffy Jones.
Cliff Jones, yeah.
Cliff Jones.
So Cliff Jones on the left wing.
Yeah, either wing, it don't really matter.
Yeah.
The easiest way is to go forward, which would be Jimmy Greaves.
Jimmy Greaves, greatest ever striker,
and,
yeah.
And I'd have to say the big man, Chiv.
Chiv as well,
instead
yeah.
Instead of Gilly.
You can have three up front if you want Gilly as well. Maybe.
No, well, it gives me more people in midfield, doesn't it?
Right.
This is where it becomes sort of really difficult because I've played with Ozzy, I've played with Glenn, I've played with Mullers, I've played with Martin Peters. and I've been associated, obviously, when I was assistant manager at the club, with Chris Waddle,
yeah,
et cetera.
But when those three there, Ozzy, Ardiles, Hoddle and Mallory, you know, you're talking about, this is what me and my dad were talking about. I mean, just these players that you've played with, you win this hands down, the best side that anyone's played
the
with.
The sad thing about it, Steve, is that, not only I've played with, but since then, there's not too many. I mean, Chris Waddle would be in the frame, but I can't. Paul Gascoigne would be in the frame, but then again, you're tossing up between Glenn, Ozzy, Martin Peters, Alan Murray, and Paul Gascoigne.
Yeah.
So it's the present day team for the since I've had the last I don't know how long, none of them would get in that team.
No, that is sad.
And I find that a little bit. Now, unless they can say, yeah, but you're an old fart, you're going to say all your mates, etc., etc.
No, but that's not true. That's the thing.
It's a fact.
Yeah, it is a fact. I mean, if you look at the last 15 years, you know, obviously the last couple of years, possibly Bale and Modric, but going back 15 years from then, you've got Gaza, got...
Modric won games instead of...
You're right, but then you've really only three, Gaza, Klinsmann and Ginola, and they were only in the side for a couple of years at the most.
To be fair, Ginola won't get in front of Chris Waddle and Cliffy Jones.
Yeah.
You know, as would Klinsmann, he was a fantastic player.
Yeah.
But JG and Chiv are just a notch up.
Brilliant. So...
That's the lovely thing about football, it's only an opinion. And I mean, there's a lot of people, like, you know, perhaps your dad and that might say, well, the double side and we had... But, I mean, I play with a lot of the double side and I'm including them everyone tells me, I didn't play with Danny Blanchflower, but they say what a fantastic player he was.
Yeah.
But to me, would he been as good as those other people? Possibly he might have been, but it's all these other people, I think they would have played at any time in any era, to be fair, and they would have been just as good.
Yeah. I mean, You came in 69, is it? You came?
No, I came to Tottenham as an amateur in
1964.
64,
yeah.
I signed professional November the 19th, 1965.
Yeah.
I made my debut 68-69 against Arsenal.
Brilliant.
And that great goalkeeper let one in from 30 yards from John Samuel.
Right. Did you win? Was that a win?
Sorry?
Was that a win, that first one?
No, we lost 1-0. John Samuel scored for Arsenal. It was for Arsenal. And I had to mark Frank McClintock.
All right.
Which was an education in itself. And I did give him some stick, to be fair. But,
yeah.
We're still friends.
Yeah, he's a nice bloke.
We're at the Tottenham-Arsenal FA Cup game. he's an extremely good footballer. And I feel very honoured to have... made my debut against him and having the privilege of trying to stop him play.
Yeah.
He was everyone assumes, you know, thinks of him as a great central defender.
And when you were and through your career, I believe you played over 400 times for Spurs.
Altogether, I think all the games, you know, a friend of mine told me this was, and it's in some book that I think first team fixtures,
yeah,
you know, whether they be friendlies or whatever, it was actually 508. So.
Oh, right.
I think it was about, you know, 396 just over 400 league games.
Yeah.
Which surprised me, you know, but,
I mean,
I couldn't have been such a bad player as I thought.
Well, the thing is, I've got, you know, I don't think you're on Twitter, are you?
No, I don't do that.
No, but I did put a little tweet out and I said we got you on the show tonight and I've had a few questions, which we'll get onto in a second. But one of the things I was going to say was, I remember as a kid I used to grow up looking at all the old video, you know, VHS videos and all that. And one of the ones that I always stuck on and I used to watch, you know, religiously every night was the Glory Glory Nights, which was all through the European nights. And of course, you played in quite a few of those. Did you play in two UEFA Cup finals?
Yep, I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the League Cup final as well, is that right?
Yep, League Cup final. And the 71, I played a few games in that as well. So
Brilliant.
In the squad for the 71 League Cup final.
Yeah.
Fantastic occasions
Are those sort of things? I mean, I always talk about last thing at night when I go to bed. I mean, even now I'm 38, but you know, and I haven't played football since I was 16 down the park on a Sunday. But I still, when I go to bed and I can't get to sleep, I think, oh, remember that goal I scored down, you know, when I was in Beckenham or something like that. And you know, do you do that? Do you sort of relive those sort of memories when you're in your car?
When
people
are kind enough to mention them. I don't like it.
I wondered if you like, you know.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking I've got to get up at 6 o'clock and go to Richmond and clean the windows. When people are kind enough to mention those things, of course, all the memories flood back, and people say, "What's the best goal you've ever scored?"
Yeah.
And you know, every now and again, one of my mates go, well, you didn't get that many, pretty, but I got 49 goals.
That's it, yeah.
Actually, in that time, but the one is we beat Everton 3-0, and Jimmy Neighbour had torn Tommy Wright, the England fullback at the time, to pieces.
Yeah,
it absolutely slaughtered him, and I ran in to the penalty box, backtracked, ran in again, thinking he was going to cross it. I did this three times, and the fourth time I ran in, he did actually cross it, and I had to dive backwards to head the ball, and I scored a goal against Gordon West, who at the time was one of the England goalkeepers.
Yeah.
And I was actually horizontal, and it was one of the few goals out of those 49 that I actually knew where it was going, and it went where I wanted it to go. And so it's one of those moments, you know. I read a book that one of my heroes, Bobby Charlton, wrote. And people said, oh, you score all these fantastic goals. And he said, well, all I do is I aim at the white sticks. And if I don't know where it's going, the goalkeeper's got absolutely no chance of knowing.
Yeah.
So if you hit the white sticks and it swerves and it does this, it does the other, and it ends up, you know, you've always got a chance. I mean, to be fair, that's why I would like to see Moussa Dembele have more strikes a goal.
Yeah.
Particularly with his right foot, because he's got a great right foot that... he doesn't show too often, but I'd love him to just take more shots at goal, and then he can play that little push and run, that little slider ball into Eriksen or Adebayor or Sodano,
yeah,
you know, or even Jermaine until he leaves, you know. So
yeah,
It's a brilliant. Football at times can be a con game. You have to con people into think you're doing something, and keep doing that, and then actually do what you wanted to do, because the surprise element, 9 times out of 10 will end up that you get an opportunity.
Brilliant. Just to finish off then, John, I've just got a few comments here and a couple of questions, if you wouldn't mind, from people on Twitter. We've got somebody, they use their Twitter handle, it's called My Football Facts, and he said, John Pratt, quite possibly the most underrated Spurs player in our history. Although Phil Bill was also was a close second. And I know that you know, Phil, obviously, we've had him on the show a few weeks ago, and he was brilliant as well, telling all stories about Mike and what have you. And you work with him at Spurs. Obviously, you see him, and you know, I bet you have a good old laugh talking about sort of the old days and what have you. And you and he, you know, very underrated.
Well, you know, Philip Hill was, to be fair. I mean, you know, kindly people, and I mean this kindly, and a suck up, or, you know, there's been a lot of kind people that said, well, given another time, we would have played for England. But if we wasn't good enough at the time,
yeah,
we shouldn't be good enough at any time. You know, there were better players. Unfortunately for Phil, there was Morrow. Norman Hunter was probably, you know, a tad better. But for me, as a midfield player, and Steve Perriman, you know, Philip Bill was quite happy. He'd shout out, let the midfield player run. You know, he'd try to run on behind us, and he'd say, let them run. And he was quite happy to, you know, not be spare, and he'd pick them up, which let Stevie and I attack the ball further up the pitch. And nine times out of ten, it was a defender coming at us, and they were quite surprised when we started getting up their backside. So, now, Bill was a terrific reader of the ball, and he made life a lot easier for Stevie Perriman and myself.
Brilliant. And I know Mike, you know, Mike England speaks about him, you know, how they complemented each other really well.
Of course.
Yeah, excellent.
You know, the big man was a fantastic header of the ball. You know, but the, you know, the bottom line is, though, Steve, that, you know, the managers always picked us. You know, Bill Nick always picked Philip Bill if he was fit.
Yeah.
He picked me. Keith Burnshaw picked me. Yes, it would have been nice to have been loved all the time. I think I turned the crowd around. People, you know, there was, it's been written that Bill Nicholson said it, but it was, you know, exactly myself that wrote, that said this saying, was that someone once asked me what the difference between playing at Old Trafford and playing at White Hart Lane was.
Yeah.
And I said at one time, I said, well, at Old Trafford at the time, only 57,000 people hated me, as opposed to 45,000 at White Hart Lane. But, you know, they, you know, 23,000 people turned up at my testimonial, which I was more than happy for, and I think I turned them around that, you know, people said, oh, well, you weren't a very good passer of the ball. Well, that probably up against Martin Peters, Alan Murray and Glenn Hoddle and Ozzy Ardiles, I probably wasn't. But you don't play for Tottenham for 16 years and not be able to pass the ball.
Absolutely.
Everyone's got their attributes, and that's the manager's job to make that wheel go round and all the cogs in it, you know, to run smoothly.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'm very lucky that people like Glenn and Ozzy and Martin Peters and, you know, Mullers to a certain extent have always been very gracious in saying, you know, without the Johnny Pratts and the Steve Perrimans, we wouldn't have been able to do what we do. And that's what being a team is.
Yeah.
You know, playing football is a team. It's
brilliant.
A team game. You know, you're all great when you win, and, you know, you're all not so good even if you think you've had a good game, you know, when you lose.
Yeah.
You know, you all feel the pain whether you've had a good game. I was listening to something on the radio today or yesterday, and someone said, oh, you're hoping you have a good game. What's the point of having a good game? I mean, I remember once we got done 8 up at Derby, and I played at the back with Willie Young. And I thought I had a great game.
Yeah.
But we lost 8-0 or 8-2, so I couldn't have played that well, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's all swings and roundabouts.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is that, you know, and the fans, particularly as you mentioned on the European nights, you show Tottenham, give them something to shout about, and they'll shout for you.
Yeah.
And I've learned that over, what, it's 1965, isn't it? Nearly 50 years I've been there at the club, and I'm very appreciative of the support, and I'm sure the players, but, you know, I mean, I can say it now because he's gone, but, you know, when AVV was detrimental to the crowd, no, the players ignite the crowd. It's not the crowd's job to ignite the players.
Yeah.
You give them something to shout about, and they will shout all night long.
Absolutely.
And that's why them European nights, when you wear the white strip and you get out there and there's a little bit of rain in the air and all those memories of the double side, etc. And dare I say, the early 70s and the 80s,
yeah.
They, all those memories come flooding back. And
dare
I say, perhaps we should translate the history of Tottenham to all the various languages of the present day players. And I'm sure there are a lot of them that go out of their way to find out the history of the club, because they wouldn't probably sign the club if they didn't know the history of the club.
Yeah.
But perhaps they should know about all these past, not live in the past, but try to emulate the past.
Yeah, I don't think if I was in that lounge every Saturday and any or Sunday and any player that was injured or whatever came over, I couldn't help myself and go over and say, right, what's wrong with you? Let me tell you about what this club means, blah blah blah. I don't know how you resist sort of not going over and saying something. Probably you're not allowed to. I don't know how it works, but
well, put it this way: no one enjoys being injured. And for every Saturday or Wednesday that goes by, that's one less game you're going to have to be able to play.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Every kid, all these players, irrespective of the money they get, good luck to them.
Yeah.
And what we personally think about them, they've wanted to be probably professional footballers since they were 7 years of age. And a lot of them, they're 24, 25, 26,
yeah.
27. So if Noyon took them 20 years to achieve that goal and be a decent player, it's a long time to have to work at something to actually achieve it.
Yeah.
Normal works, walks of life, most people, whether you're a tradesman or a doctor, etc., you normally your decision making is done at sort of your own, your GCSE level,
yeah.
And then your A levels and then university. You have a bit more time than a footballer does, and so sometimes I think people might do themselves a favour and think that no one means to play poorly. Everyone wants to play great every week, perhaps sometimes we, as players, might show a little bit more humility. But good luck to them. And, a great time to be playing football, purely because of the monetary side of it, which is fantastic for the clubs.
Absolutely. Just a couple more here. I've got Ozil Osman, who says John should be a great character, he's got a great personality, someone who's met you obviously, and then someone else here called Ali Hassan, who said, John, I used to love watching you running 60 yards to chin someone. Which chinning gave you the most pleasure and why?
I can't remember actually running 60 yards. I wasn't big enough to chin anyway. I've always thought that I was an old cliche, hard but fair.
Yeah.
I never deliberately. The only person I did try to kick once was Alan Clark. He done me.
Yeah.
Big time. Done the Alan Clark usual. Left his foot there and I kicked his foot.
Yeah.
And I remember because Jack Taylor, the World Cup referee, who just happened to be about 6'3", and I'd run about for 20 minutes trying to kick Alan Clark, who was an extremely good player, trust me. I tripped him over in the centre circle. And I did try to do it, to be fair, but I just tripped him over. And Jack Taylor said, that's one each. And when you sound like a little schoolboy, and I went, yeah, but I didn't hurt him the way he's hurt me, and pointing to my ankle that had like blood bumming out of it. And I thought, oh, I shouldn't have said that. What a bad thing to say. I sounded like a little 5-year-old. But sir, I didn't. Yeah. But there you go, there are things. He was a fantastic player, but he was a dirty bastard.
The watcher, THFC, calls himself, he said, if there was one Spurs player from your era to improve our current team, who would that be?
Our current team.
I mean, we've gone through your players that you played with. I mean, I think I'd have everybody in, But if you had to pick one, it's impossible, really, isn't it? I don't know. Who would you?
Yeah, it would be. I mean, because you'd be splitting hairs.
Yeah.
You'd be splitting hairs between, dare I say it, you know, Jimmy Greaves and Chivers as opposed to Adebayor and Ericsson and those sort of people.
I suppose Cyril Knowles at left back would be quite
Cyril,
handy.
Yeah. Well, no, you're right. You know, with all due respect to Danny, you know, Cyril Knowles was a midfield player, fantastic midfield player, fantastic athlete. Cultured left foot, and all the left backs have got a little bit to do to catch Cyril up. I'm biased, but I think constructive criticism and praise, Knowlesy would fall into the best category there. I do believe we need options in that position.
Absolutely. And just finally, we've got one from the Spurs poet who said, if you could compare yourself to a modern day footballer, is there anybody in the current Spurs squad that you think, I was a little bit like him, or from recent past? Or maybe someone.
Well, I suppose Sandro, really.
Yeah.
Because he loves a tackle, and I used to fall into the same pitfall that I try to win everything when you can't win everything. And sometimes, bless him, Sandro does do that, but it's only with the best intentions, and sometimes gives away free kicks where we could do without them. I would say Sandro, because he gets about the park and
Get stuck in.
He's got to score one or two more goals.
We'll get himself fit, because he's my favourite player.
He's
fit.
He's a lovable character. He's a very approachable fella, and he's all the things I would like every professional footballer to be. Because the one criticism that fans have is that the monetary side of the game, which does take the players out of the realms. For an instance, but we always used to go and have a drink in the White Hart after games and one thing or another, and even subsequently before it shut down, for the redevelopment of the ground. But if players went in there now, the average punter in there would say, well, what's he doing in here? Why ain't he down the West End? Well, he wanted to go in there and have a drink with his mates, same as I do.
If the old lounge is up at the West Stand, get a bit boring, come down the Bell and Hare, come and have a couple of beers with us, John. We'd love to see you down there.
I'll pop in the Bell and Hare. I used to go in there quite frequently with Greaves here.
What was that, about 2:45?
Steve, if I can just sort of part on one myth.
Go on.
When everyone said that all the players in the late 60s, 70s were always on the piss and this and the other.
Yeah.
It's the biggest myth in football. There might be some players earning a living out of saying we did this and we did that and we did the other. You couldn't have gone out and played at the level of football that we did and not, be fit to do it. And when people say the players are fitter than us, they're playing on lovely pitches.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember any of our players going down with cramp, which I do. There's one criticism, there are too many people going down with cramp. Why? And they look as if they're breathing through their backsides.
Yeah.
It's only my little criticism, but there you go.
Yeah. Now, listen, it's been brilliant. And I know the Spurs fans that listen to this, hanging on every word, because, we give, everything, anything to play for our beloved Spurs. And to pull that white shirt on, over 400 times is something that, is brilliant.
I'd be honest and say I didn't support any team prior to going to Tottenham, because I was always playing over Acton Marshes. Sometimes the players forget that we all played over the local playing fields and etc. We didn't play at Wembley and Old Trafford and the lovely stadiums that we have now to play in, or pitches that we have to play But it's been an absolute privilege to be associated with a fantastic club like Tottenham for 48 years now, and please God it continues. And I can live as long as Cliffy Jones and still be involved with a club, because that is one of the nicest men you'll ever want to meet on God's
earth. Yeah, no, everyone's lovely.
And he loves all the fans, and
Brilliant.
He's a great geezer.
Brilliant. Listen, thanks ever so much. It's been great chatting to you. And we'd love to have you on again, you know, next year or something if,
okay, well, thanks for the opportunity. And all I can say, as I always say to, you know, to the people I talk to in the lounge, is that Tottenham, keep the faith.
Brilliant. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks very much, Steve.
All right, thanks, John. Cheers. Bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks.